Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoeffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Dr. Robert Peskin, Dr. Raymond Ellis, and Andrea and Ron DeFeo. Electric transformers are used to step down voltage from high levels most efficient for long-distance transmission to lower levels suitable for distribution for business and residential applications. Having a sufficient supply of transformers for replacement and expansion of the grid is critical to assuring the reliability of our electric power system. But currently, there is an unprecedented shortfall in the supply of transformers. An analysis conducted by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, NREL, a lab of the U.S. Department of Energy, has assessed the long-term drivers of demand for distribution transformers. Here today to discuss the findings of this study is one of the authors, Killian McKenna, who's Group Manager of Electrical Engineering for NREL. Killian earned a PhD in Electrical Engineering from the University College Dublin. Killian, glad to talk with you today.
Nice to be on. Thanks for having me.
Just how important are transformers in the electrical distribution system?
And they're critical. They're a backbone piece of infrastructure. Basically, the power system is composed of two, you know, major forms of assets. Those are transformers, which step up and step down voltage, like you were saying. You know, there's lots of different sizes of transformers. Those that are used to step down voltage for customer service that can be a single customer, it could be, you know, half a dozen to a dozen customers. And then you've got transformers that are used for transmission that can transport huge amounts of power for entire towns or cities. So, transformers are one of those components. And then the other ones are conductors and wires, which are kind of like the highways of the power system. So, no, they are critical for the electrical infrastructure.
But we have to go through this step up and step down process, right, for efficiency and safety of distribution?
Yeah, and that dates back to when we, you know, the original physics of the power system and some of the designs from, you know, Westinghouse and Tesla, and the whole reason that we use different voltage levels are for efficiencies. When electrical current runs through any metal wire, essentially it starts to generate heat, and when we step up voltage, we can lower the current on that wire, and that saves us some losses. So when we're transporting power across very large distances, we use quite high voltages to reduce the current in those lines. And then for safety purposes, and when we want to get to the voltages suitable use for electrical appliances, when we get closer to what electrical engineers would call the load center, really, which is where, you know, your sockets are, we start to step down voltages again for power delivery.
So I think I remember the formula that the power is equal to the voltage times the amperage. Effectively, the pressure times the flow. So what you want to do is put the pressure way up and reduce the flow to reduce the energy loss. Is that right?
That is exactly it, yes.
So I do remember something from long ago. What drives the demand for these transformers? What are the key factors?
There are a lot of different factors that drive transformer demand. And one of the key ones is just, you know, this infrastructure has a lifespan. You know, there's transformers are kind of like a car. The harder you drive them, the faster a car is going to fail. A transformer is quite similar in that regard. So the more demand that goes through a transformer over time, the faster it's going to fail. So transformers are typically designed to last around 30 years. But in reality, we've seen transformers last 30, 40, 50, 60 years. In some cases, we talk to utility engineers of transformers out there, they're over 90 years old. Part of that's due to, you know, when people were designing transformers 90 years ago, they kind of overspec them, right? The other part of it is that we haven't seen a huge amount of load growth on the power system in the past 30 years in terms of like the consumption on a per capita basis, which has meant the loading on these assets hasn't increased that much. Now we're seeing, you know, potentially, you know, rapid load growth from a whole variety of different sources. So that may change the picture into the future. But one of the key drivers is just this infrastructure starts to age out and it starts to fail. Another driver is with new customers. So if a new community is getting connected, or if we've got, say, a new commercial or industrial customer, they're going to get dedicated transformers, and that's a source of new customer growth. And then this last part is, you know, if demand on transformers increases, we might need to proactively replace them. So that's another demand for growth. And sorry, I did leave out one category, which is kind of extreme weather events and failures from that. So when a hurricane comes along and happens on the east coast of the USA, that's when you're more likely to get, you know, high wind events taking out transformers. You know, visually for people, what does a transformer look like? It's in a lot of cases, these are essentially what you can think of as metal buckets on poles filled with oil, and the oil is an insulating material. So, and in other cases, they're actually mounted on the ground on kind of concrete slabs, and what we call in the industry is pad mount transformers. So when a hurricane happens, you're going to get high wind events. Those high wind events can take out some of these pole mount transformers, and that's yet another driver of demand.
So the storm damage, though, it's physical damage. It's not like the same kind of mechanism as the wear out or aging mechanism.
Exactly. So there's kind of two things that can happen in a storm event to transformers. One is you can end up, especially with pole mounted infrastructure, a pole could come down and that transformer can fail. But there is actually a case of where a storm can cause damage to a transformer that also accelerates its aging. So kind of wear and tear in these storms. And there's utilities of kind of anecdotes of, you know, seeing storm damage actually only kind of results in replacement 1 or 2 years after a storm. But the aging mechanism that we're talking about is really the insulation in these transformers starts to degrade over time. And that's this kind of like the driving the car analogy of the harder you drive it, the faster it's going to fail.
Isn't there some kind of a natural heating process that goes on inside the transformer that contributes to that?
Yes, exactly. So this actually goes back to our, you know, P equals V times I, and that's I, that the current in that formula, current causes heat. So in the windings of a transformer, which we use to step up and step down voltage, when you get current going through those windings, that causes heat. Most transformer design is designed to insulate and designed to manage that heat. And that's why when I say a bucket on a pole, that bucket is filled with oil. That oil is to manage the heat in that transformer. So the more current that goes through, the more heat. That heat has a degrading impact on some of the elements inside the transformer.
Isn't part of the demand push coming from the introduction of renewable energy sources, solar and wind?
In part for step-up transformers. So there's a few different types of transformers, kind of like you're alluding to at the top here. So there's service transformers and distribution transformers, which step down voltages for customer demand. There's large power transformers that are used to transform power throughout the transmission system and some of the kind of higher voltage lines that you'll see crisscrossing across the country when they're on pylons. And then for renewables tend to have a lower voltage when they're generating at the point of the generator or the inverter. And then you need to step up that voltage to either get to the distribution level voltage or the primary level voltage, just the same that you would need for a large thermal generation station. Those will also have what we call step-up transformers. So it's kind of, you know, just like load comes off the power system, we need to get generation onto the power system, and those require step-up transformers. So yes, renewables certainly need a large amount of capacity for step-up transformers as we get more and more wind and solar being part of our generation mix.
Part of the shortfall that you discovered in your report for step-up transformers as well as step-down?
We've mainly been focused on step-down transformers, but certainly we've heard anecdotally from industry that there is also a shortage and challenges with step-up transformer demand. Mind you, the manufacturing for those can be a little bit different.
What's the reason that there's a shortfall? You talked about the demand drivers. Why isn't supply responding to that demand?
So our work has mainly been focused on the long-term demand, and it's really to help the industry into the future to kind of see, well, okay, well, what's demand going to be like in the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 20 years, and really help the industry get to grips with all these different drivers of demand. The current supply shortage, depending on who you talk to, and it's not been a major focus of our work, but it's, part of it's pent-up pandemic demand that's still, the same reason you're seeing supply chain shortages in other industries. Part of it's, how we retain the workforce for this industry. And then part of it's also just the industry, wants to make sure that they're getting their hands on transformers. So there's competing demand for that across utilities. And whenever you start to see any supply chain shortage, demand starts to kind of pick up for people trying to reserve transformers. So there's probably a little bit of that going on too.
Okay. So it's, could I use the term hoarding? Yeah, I'm worried about supply, so I'll buy ahead.
Potentially, yes.
Still in all, I mean, are you saying that the suppliers just are slow to respond, or is this is how fast they can respond, or that they're not able to respond?
No, suppliers are certainly trying to respond as fast as they can. But, when demand is so high that they're seeing, orders being placed that they'll only be able to fulfill in a year to 2 years' time. So, the supply is certainly trying to keep pace with demand. But, just like a lot of other industries, post-pandemic, there's been this kind of rebound, and that can take a while to get through.
Is there any issue from the point of view of the supplier's supply chain that is getting the input components to build these transformers?
That I don't have as much visibility. As I kind of said, most of our work is on the demand, trying to pull demand.
Is there a need for intervention in the market, a government intervention, or is it just a matter of making sure that people understand the situation and expecting them to respond as they would in a typical free market?
I'm going to say that's out of scope for us.
Okay. Are you aware of any government intervention that's pushing this along?
And there's lots of work that we are doing to try help the market understand demand. And that's been a major focus for us to try. One of the challenges in the U.S. is that there's 3,000 plus distribution utilities. And they're not the only people who demand transformers, right? There's also commercial and industrial customers who also have demand for transformers. There's depth of transformer demand from renewable energy developers. Data centers are going to be a huge driver of demand. So part of the challenge of the industry is trying to grapple with all of these different sources of demand, both in terms of, new customer growth, in terms of how load is going to pick up, in terms of how we're talking about weather events, in terms of the aging infrastructure. So one of the big pieces that we've been trying to help the industry with is understand this demand so they can start to prepare for, an increase in supply that we will need to get to.
So I find that very interesting because I'm really repeating what you said, but your study provides information that's useful in decision-making on both sides of the market. So it's a kind of a market-wide study as opposed to what maybe some one individual manufacturer or purchaser might do.
That's exactly right, yes. And this is, this is a big, complicated space with a lot of different pieces going on. So, a lot of the times a manufacturer might just be dealing with one segment of the market and not having full visibility of everything else that is happening. And also, a lot of these manufacturers will just be orders. They don't necessarily know why those orders are happening or what's the long-term growth prospects for those, because this is a big, complicated market. We're talking about electricity demand. Electricity demand is not a simple thing, right? So, and then all of these other pieces like the aging infrastructure. So this is a major effort by us to try help the entire industry understand these drivers, understand the data behind it. And we'll have further publications into the future in this.
So this is not the end of your game. You've got plenty of work to do going forward, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So could you tell us a little bit about how you did the study? I mean, as we have this conversation, the complexity, from my perspective, grows. How did you pull this information together? Who did you talk to?
I'm going to give credit. We've got a really great team here at NREL. A lot of the staff that I work with are amazing. They're great researchers. They're great electrical engineers. We also have great contacts with the utility industry that we work really closely. We did a lot of discussion with the manufacturing side. and our colleagues at the Department of Energy who funded the study at the Office of Electricity and Office of Policy were really fantastic in wrangling together all these diverse players. So we were able to talk to a lot of people in the creation of the study. Other pieces, you know, we've got a long history of working with utilities at NREL and a long history of characterizing electricity demand. So a lot of those other models that we have at NREL, we were able to leverage as inputs for this. It takes a village to get something like this done.
It's interesting. I did have a chance to look at your study, and you have what I would describe as a logic model of the whole demand process, which is quite a complex a model. I assume that derives from all of your interactions with people on both sides of the market.
That's correct, yeah. And there's a lot of interesting, you know, one of the challenges in any work in the distribution space is the fact that there are over 3,000 different distribution utilities in the U.S. Those are investor-owned utilities, municipal, cooperative utilities. We need to be pretty creative to try and get ways of characterizing the stock of those different utilities, because obviously trying to gather data from each individual utility would be a Herculean task, and we'd need a ton of people to cooperate and give us data for that. So we've been able to use some creative ways, like one of the things that correlates really well with the age of transformers is the housing stock. When we put in new housing stock, particularly for service transformers, that's when the service transformer is first going to get deployed. We're able to use data on housing stock age to, you know, model forward what the age of distribution transformers would be. So there's a lot of creativity that goes into creating a model like this.
So were you able to produce a model that predicts the demand over time?
Yes. And that's going to be a subject of future publications as well, because we have a model that's predicting the age of transformers, what the loading is going to be in the future, what the failure rates are going to be, the different strategies that utilities can do around replacements of transformers. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of different scenarios that could pan out in terms of how utilities make decisions, in terms of how, you know, different customer load growth scenarios happen, because load growth is not a, you know, when we look at load forecasts, there's not a single point forecast. There's a whole spectrum of different scenarios. So we're going to have a lot of kind of scenarios for infrastructure demand going forward.
So that sounds like a particularly useful tool. What I'm imagining is, as these scenarios develop, you're able to update the forecasts and provide people particularly on the supply side, with some better information about what's coming down the road for them.
Correct. Yeah, because for the manufacturers, this is a long-term game. If you want to build manufacturing capacity, that can't be done overnight. So trying to provide people more certainty on what's going to happen 5, 10, 20 years out allows the industry to get insights into how to build out manufacturing capacity. It also helps utilities do their own planning, because utilities are trying to work out what their demand is going to be, what budgets they will need into the future. So yeah, tools like this are incredibly helpful for the industry.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. There's a lot of richness in the work that you've done and a lot of value to be developed going forward. So it seems like you'll be busy with this for a while.
Oh, we're not done. there's, you know, especially in the power system and the electricity sector space, we live in a very dynamic world right now with a lot of, you know, exciting change happening in the industry, but also just a lot of paradigm shifts. So, yeah, we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
It sounds like these are good times to be in your business.
It's an interesting time to be an electrical engineer.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's encouraging. Killian, I'm really happy that we had the chance to talk with you. Learned a lot about transformers, and particularly find it interesting to understand how you're doing this kind of forecasting to, if I could use the term, maybe grease the wheels in decision-making on both sides of the market, supply and demand. So thank you very much for spending the time with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. A pleasure to be on, and thanks for the great conversation.
Very good. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please subscribe to our podcast and encourage your friends to join us too. The Infrastructure Show is recorded at the Studio Media Recording Company in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Scott Steinman, recording engineer with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I'm Professor Joseph Schoffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I am.